Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We have some fine studio guests in. Yeah. Mark Steele was in town.
Oh, I am a big fan of Mark Steele.
Yeah, he's a comedian, Palace fan, loves his cricket. Yeah. He was on good form, so you'll hear that conversation. Graham Stack joined us as well. He was part of the Invincible squad at Arsenal, had a long and varied career around the world, and it's a bit of a raconteur with some old
great... some good tales.
We've got a bit of a football story from Graham as well, which you'll hear, featuring a couple of England players.
And we did a bit about last night's game.
Yeah, we had a chat.
General chat.
Yeah. Various stuff. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Ed.
Good afternoon, Paul. Just before I mention last night's game, we're not going to go into the technical side of it because I'm going to talk to Danny Higginbottom, aren't we?
Yeah.
England's defending. But I love this text to the Daily Star today. It says, never mind Motsy on Strictly. Would have been much more fun to have Motty as a new judge. The legendary football pundit John Motsy. You have to say that's the fifth Paso Doble this series.
Yeah. It'd be quite stat heavy with John, I think.
I'll read that. I'll show him that one on Friday.
Yeah, I wonder if he's probably been offered Strictly in the jungle and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah,
we asked him. We probably have. I'd like to think. You know, I don't think that's him, is it? Really? What could you see him in? Love Island's. That's unlikely.
Love
isn't it?
Island.
I'm just throwing formats out there that Mossy might want to do. He'd shake it up, wouldn't he?
Well, he would. Yeah.
Yeah.
He could be good.
Yeah.
I can see him doing Come Dine With Me or something like that.
Yeah, but he doesn't need to, does he?
No, not really. No. Actually, that letter was from somebody called Anne. I don't know if it was from his wife, but it's probably unlikely.
Yeah, I would think so, yeah.
Calling for Motty to be a judge.
There was a very similar one of that in one of the other papers today. Somebody very much talking up. I can probably find it because I've got a copy of The Sun here. Give me a couple of seconds. Andy, talk amongst yourselves for a minute while I find it.
I find the goal nets at St Mary's are strung too tightly. I've often thought this before.
Blimey, you're the completist, aren't you?
I like the ball to nestle in the netting.
You don't like it coming. Otherwise, you can get a Clive Allen
back.
Situation.
Even Sancho's little dink sprang back into play. They're a bit tight.
You'd want a bit of slackening of the nets.
A bit of slackness.
A bit of slackness of the nets. Okay. Watching Sue Perkins, says Rosalind Jones, on BBC One's The Ganges in India. Well, it wouldn't be The Ganges in Cleck Eaton, would it? Is riveting.
Yeah.
She comes up with great quips alongside seriousness and tears too. She is wonderful in this documentary. Roll on Japan next, says Rosalind Jones, brackets agent to Sue Perkins. No, probably not.
Or Sue Perkins on holiday, as I like to call these programs, we pay for.
So many of these great shows. I mean, apparently it's a very good show.
No, I haven't seen it either myself.
Up the Ganges with Sue Perkins.
Marvellous, isn't marvelous. It? And I was looking at the Latvians.
Why were you looking at the Latvians?
No idea, because they weren't playing the Kosovans last night.
How soon forgotten.
Yeah, and they really enjoyed the way they played. And I was thinking to myself, you know, Bernard Chalon, what a very well-coached team this is.
Yeah.
Why hasn't he worked at a higher level? And then I thought, a bit open at the back. That's probably why he hasn't worked.
They're a bit open at the back.
Oh, yeah, we are, but they were ridiculous.
No, they were. It was Ozzy Ardiles at Spurs time. You know, everybody bombing forward, never mind the defending.
You know, sometimes I make these notes when I go through the... watching the match, you know, looking for a bit of witticism somewhere.
It's the work of a madman. If you gave those to a doctor, I think you'd be sectioned, Andy.
Sometimes it's quite unfortunate, though, because I came up with this one, and I thought, they've got a player called Armani. So I thought, he's a solid defender, but that type of defender's becoming obsolete. He can't play out from the back. Yes, you could say Armani's become unfashionable. So I thought, that's quite good.
It's clever.
Clever, except his name's Brahmani. So what's the point? So annoying.
So you worked up a whole gag about someone who wasn't Playing?
Yeah.
Okay.
And if I just did it as you'd say, well, his name's Brahmani, so there'd be no point. Anyway, you can't cheat it.
No, you can't, Andy.
I liked it when Raheem celebrated his header and he nearly hooked Michael Keane, who'd come over for sort of
because I think Michael Keane was very keen to get in the picture, having made the rick made 7 minutes before.
And had come up with the assist.
Yeah.
But he showed Tyson Fury-like reactions to sort of, you know, sway away from the punch.
It was
tremendous.
Good, yeah. Michael Keane, he does hang in the air, doesn't he? That was one of his attributes.
A little bit of criticism, but then, anyway, we'll see what Danny Higginbottom's got to say about that. And I was looking on social media today, and there's a photo. Mike Parry's got a podcast, and he's managed to persuade Alan Brazil to be in it.
Oh.
But basically, to get them both in the same picture, they've sort of done a bit of work on Alan's face. They've really slimmed him down.
Really?
He looks like Dominic Cummings. What's happened?
So what, really? Because it's quite a tight little postage stamp shot.
Yeah.
They've given... So Alan's
Mike,
gone
Mike
cone head.
Normal, but Alan seems to have become
Can I
elongated.
Say, have you got it?
Yeah,
I'm desperate to see it.
I'll have to look it up.
If you wouldn't mind, I'd have to see Alan with a long head. I think we'd all like to see that. We'll put that out there for the listeners.
Alan's long head. New podcast.
Alan Longhead.
I've got another game that I play when I go through the court circular.
Mm. In the Times,
In the Times. And there's a big event where there's a lot of names. I always look to see if I can find any sporting namesakes. So there was a memorial service for Lord Ashdown yesterday.
Yeah, there was,
All the great and good turned up. And there was Major General Matthew Matty Holmes.
Yeah, see? Is that what they call him?
Yeah. There was
you've added the Matty.
No, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Mick Shannon or Mike Shannon of the Royal Marines.
Okay.
Obviously. Ian Wright. So not that one, I don't think. And who else did I find? Simon Hughes. Sir Simon Hughes. The United for his services to cricket analysis.
Well done.
Thank you very
much. Well done.
Well, it's a childish game, but it keeps me going.
Did you see the story from... It's quite weird. When I first saw the pictures, I thought, well, that's a bit off. It happened in a game, a charity match in Turkey between Bursaspor and Fenerbahce. And people apparently were outraged, as they often are on social media, by the sight of a child smoking next to a much younger child, thinking what a great influence he is or not on his little brother. And this was the money was going partly to a cancer charity, so that accentuated the problem. The only trouble is that the child, the older brother in question, has turned out to be 36 years old.
Really?
And the lad sitting next to him is his son. So... Have a look at the picture, Andy. That person with a cigarette on is 36.
No.
Yeah.
No.
A 36-year-old man.
He's 36.
He is 36, and that's his son. He's got a young face.
I've heard of young face. That's ridiculous.
And it's there's that cut-off, isn't there? If you're kind of in your 50s or whatever...
He's one razor blade every decade, this fellow.
There's a point in your life when you don't want to look... You don't want people thinking you're younger than you really are. There's a point in your life when you think... Oh, you don't look a day over 42. Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're 36 and someone thinks you're 12, that's a bit creepy, isn't
it? It's quite difficult when he goes into an off-licence and things like that. Somebody had to buy those fags for him.
I wouldn't imagine. I'd imagine he'd have to do a bit of that over the years. But go and check out the picture.
It's ridiculous.
This guy's written... I mean, he shouldn't have been smoking anyway. You're not allowed to do it in Turkey in the stadiums.
Right, okay.
But, what about that?
Yeah,
that doesn't really take us anywhere. It's basically a photo story.
Yeah,
so great radio.
I like those.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Make a welcome return to the studio. He's back on tour. His show, Every Little Thing's Going to Be All Right. He's a comedian, Palace fan, cricket fan as well, of course. Mark Steele, good afternoon.
Thank you.
Mark.
Thank you very much. I wonder when, as soon as you say Palace fan, that's probably 9/10 of London going, well, I'm not going to see that.
Keep it quiet.
Palace's representation, certainly on this station and in the I think you and Kevin Day kind of hold up an end, don't you, the pair
of
you?
Yeah, well, and Eddie Izzard more prominently, of course.
Bruce Millington, of course, in the Racing Post. We speak of a lot of Palace fans, many, some would say.
Yes, I'm sure some would, but there's a few.
Yeah.
But it's very much as it always was, isn't it, the football? I always think, you know, when people say, oh, you know, the working class, you can't use that old phrase anymore. It was, go down to football, it really hasn't changed very much, has it? I'm trying to think of a single thing I can repeat, but there isn't any, is there?
They got Spurs this week, haven't they?
Yes, at the Lane. Did you get you get the home games and
yeah, I went to see Palace Villa a couple of weeks ago. That was very thoroughly entertaining, really good game. Palace won. There was a sending off. There was a big squabble with the players, the fans, everything. What more could you want?
Yeah.
I mean, that should be one of them A-list games that they, if they can promise a sending off and a
that's right.
load of fan trouble.
There are no guarantees, though, are there? Yeah.
I always was, but I've become a massive fan this year of Mark Steele's In Town.
Right.
Because
thank
there
you.
Are nine series, it's great because you can go back. They've got them
yeah,
all
they're
on
the sounds. Yeah.
The sounds
it is a very good show. Yeah, it's a very
such
enjoyable.
A brilliant show. And it you make it sound as if very effortless, but there must be quite a lot of work that goes into it before.
You know what is it? It's a matter of going to a play. For people who don't know, I go to a place and I just find out as much as I can, and then I write a whole show, write an hour's show. I think it ends up 40 minutes on the app, doesn't it? But I'd write an hour's show about that town, and it's just an attempt to be as rude as possible about the place. But of course, it has to be right, because if you get the right people and the things people really talk about. And then it's just I love that everywhere's so different and it's got its own little world. And we did Hastings was the start.
I've just written Hastings down.
Oh, yeah. God, that was so funny. There's a really good, there's a sort of drinking culture there.
St. Leonard's as well.
Yes, yeah. There's a brilliant word they've got for people who move down from London because it's cheap down there and it's got problems of various social sorts and stuff. So it's cheap and people go down there from London sometimes when they just given up in London. And they've got a word for people who do that, which is filth. But it's actually quite
wasn't
sweet.
The word I was expecting.
No, it's quite sweet because it stands for failed in London, try Hastings. And everything's 1066. So there's like a 1066 judo club, music club, swimming pool, gyms, everything. And there's a building firm called William the Concreter. And as soon as you get there and you find these things out, you think, about once a series now, if we're lucky, we get sent on something a little bit more exotic. So we went to Malta.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And again, just
you did Gibraltar in the past, didn't you?
We did Gibraltar about 3 years ago.
Remember that, yeah.
Oh, and I love doing that because people said, you've got to be so careful. But of course you haven't. People are the same anywhere. Yeah. So I knew the opening line had to be, is brilliant at last in this series to be given the chance to come to Spain. You knew that had to be the opening line. But you can't say that. If you say it in the right way, I bet you can. And then the whole... And of course, they all cheered. And the whole thing was like... It was full of lines like... I'm trying to think of a couple now. One was like, there are some brilliant views here. Wonderful. Because if you walk up the rock, you can see Spain, which is much nicer than this dump. And it's full of things like that in front of people from Gibraltar. And because they sort of... It's like anything. It's like with your mates. If it's someone's your mate, they can... be relentless about it.
Yeah, and I know it comes from a good place, clearly,
You've got to like it. You've got to like it.
But you say, I put you off there, you said you went to Malta recently.
Oh, to Malta? Yeah. Oh, this is my favourite moment. So, there's a pub in Malta, in the middle of the capital, Valletta, called The Pub, and it's very much an English pub. In fact, I went there and watched Palace Tottenham in the FA Cup. Palace won 2-0. That was the only pub that had it on. Anyway, that's by the by. So, the bloke who runs the pub is from Birmingham. Lovely fella, come over, wanted a photo and all that sort of thing. But the main reason why this pub is well known is it's a shrine to Oliver Reed, because it's where Oliver Reed went and spent his last ever day when he got extraordinary, even by his own standards, drank an extraordinary amount. Yeah. It is recorded how much he drank, and it was the last thing he ever did. Mm. And there are T-shirts. I mean, it's quite tasteful, but this pub is a shrine to Oliver Reed and things, all pictures of him there. And this bloke who runs the pub, he said, honestly, Mark, you'd have loved it here last week. He said, we had a bloke come in, and he come up to me, and he said, mate, can you show me exactly where it is in this pub that Oliver Cromwell drank himself to death?
Oliver Cromwell.
Oliver Cromwell. For how many reasons? Do you know who used to drink more than anyone? Yeah. Oliver Cromwell.
Oh, he'd have to drink.
Called the Puritans. If you went out on a stag night with him.
On the sly. He wouldn't go to a pub to drink, would he, Oliver Cromwell? Wouldn't think. He'd keep it under wraps.
But it's just... So in a way, it's sort of... It's nice for you to say that about your programme, but it's in a way, it's testimony are just the people are just people and places are just naturally funny, and you can't all you've got to do is spend enough time there and look and listen and stuff, and people will be will sort of give you the
you
stuff.
Get stuff
really
out of the local paper. Did
it come out? I just wonder, because obviously whenever a comedian goes on tour, you'll generally think it might be nice to have a little bit of local stuff. So you probably do a little bit of research for it. Did you think, well, this might have legs?
A little bit, because I remember used to think the more that you did of that, the better it was. And there was a couple of nights. In fact, I'm always very fond of a town in North Yorkshire called Skipton, which is a very much a farming place, and there's a big cattle market there. In fact, the theatre is the cattle market. So I've been to the cattle market in the day. There's all cows and a bloke, you know, feed your tube, your blue, 242, whatever it is, whatever they do. And then
didn't buy one, did you?
I should have done, shouldn't I?
On the train back to London.
I don't know. I just got overwhelmed and now I've got this, mate.
It's in the moment.
The guard's saying I've got to put it in the special carriage at the back.
Next to the bikes.
But and then the bloke comes out in the evening, hoses it all down, and then people come in and watch the theatre.
Comedy
and
of course show.
Not to be too, but there's a certain smell.
Yeah, there would be.
There's a certain odour once you've had several cows. Also, cows that probably sense something's up. Yeah. And they create a smell. So it stinks. You're on stage and there's this magnificent Yorkshire-y stink. And so the whole show, I couldn't get into the actual written bit at all. And they were shouting stuff back, being sort of Yorkshire farming folk. They were shouting stuff back. But it was brilliant fun. And then I noticed that Keighley is round the corner, and I mentioned Keighley. I said, is that your rival town? And it went absolutely silent. And this one woman, like she was spokesperson, she just shouted out, Keighley is a sink of evil. And afterwards I thought, I wonder if you could do that in every town, if you could, because that show was, I thought, I'd love that to have been recorded because it could only happen in Skipton. And I wonder if you could do that in every town if you had the time, you know. Yeah. So I mentioned it to the radio, BBC Radio, if we can mention this particular institution. Mm-hmm. And,
nine series later.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't talked about your new show yet, which we will in a minute when we come back. And we'll talk a bit of Palace and we'll talk a bit of cricket in light of what's going on in the Ashes.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from Talk Sport.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on Talk Sport. Graham Stack, former Arsenal keeper, Watford keeping coach, pops in to see us a little bit later on. Mark Steele is with us, comedian, Palace fan, cricket fan. We're going to talk cricket in a minute, but Mark, I know what'll happen. We've done this before. We'll end up not talking about the reason why you looked at
the
Yeah,
I think
in
once
we
come in to plug something, and we spent 25 minutes talking about the snooker and went home and completely forgot what it was.
So the show is, we'll do that. We'll make sure we get that done. Every Little Thing's going to be all right. UK Tour 2019.
Yeah. I saw this in Edinburgh last year, but of course it's changed. It's
Well, it will have done, because it was sort of every little thing's going to be right, all right, sort of on a personal front and also a sort of wider front, really. But of course, the wider front, everything changes so magnificently, doesn't it? You haven't got a clue now what's going. God, I mean, even 2 or 3 months ago was the last time I did this show. When I look back at the things now, I think, well, that seems about 15 episodes ago.
Yeah, it does. It's absolutely true.
I was saying that people saying, oh, have we got in this mess? Because this is the most serious thing that Britain's had to deal with for 70 years. And for the first 18 months, the people in charge were David Davis and Boris Johnson, which is like finding an unexploded bomb in your house and you ring the council and they send round Paul Gascoigne and a kangaroo. Now, of course, Boris Johnson is no longer just one of the people in charge. He is in charge.
He's the man completely in charge. That's right.
Yeah.
So you're playing the Hackney Empire. You've got it's one final gig on this tour.
But that's quite a big place. So if you can all come along, please, to that.
Friday the 18th of October is the night for Mark's show. Every little thing's going to be all right. We were just chatting off air then about county cricket and your love of just wandering down to watch your county in action.
I love it. I just sort of, because it's... So when people don't like cricket, they say, but it's so pointless. I think, well, no, that's the point of it, is it's like a point. Apart from what sport has a point to it? Well, the marvellous thing with badminton, you go and watch that, you come back, at least you've got all your vegetables for the week. Of course not.
Yeah, there is international no
real point
for it.
DIY. Yeah. There isn't, of course there's no point to it. That's the whole thing. And cricket just takes that and runs with that idea, doesn't it? And county cricket especially, it's just you sit there, wander about, have a pint, you have an ice cream, wander around a lovely little field, you sort of watch and maybe it'll get interesting, but it doesn't matter if it doesn't. I think it's utterly, utterly glorious. If you go with someone, you chat all day, and then when it ends, you think, oh, what a shame it's over already. And I'm sure I've said this on here before, but I was at Canterbury once writing an article about the people that was there, and I was talking to these retired fellas. And one of them said to me, he said, when you get to 65 here, Mark, he said, they offer you a lifetime's membership card, he said. And a lifetime's membership card at Canterbury, it's same as seven individual annual membership cards. He said, so basically, Mark, it's a gamble.
Is it the idea if you had a kind of football equivalent to county cricket, where you'd maybe go to Selhurst and there'd be this kind of low-level game going on for 6 or 7 hours, played at sort of half pace, with a kind of lot of pensioners there because they got in cheap or
whatever. And they don't realise that they were there from the previous season and don't realise that one ended.
And you'd have a pint and wander around, watch 5 minutes of the game and then go and chat to your mates.
But it is true. People who like county cricket absolutely love it for that reason, because it is just escapism. It's a day. You don't get that. I mean, I love all forms of cricket, but you don't get that with 2020 or even...
No.
With a 50 over, it's longer and but it's still not the same feeling.
I mean, I love it when, cricket at its most dramatic is Ben Stokes on the last day. That is what drives, the odd moments like that you've had in your life watching cricket is what makes it just astonishingly fantastic. And it's just, wonderful that ropes everybody in, people who are never normally watching it going, I've never liked cricket, but that was amazing. That's brilliant. But also those days of just pottering about. Robert Key was just fielding in front of me. Robert Key, for people who don't know, he played for England for a while. Kent player.
Yeah, we have him on the show quite a lot.
I mean, he seems like a lovely fella. He was just fielding just in front of me, and he was obviously saw a couple of people he knew, and he was talking to him while he was fielding, going, "Oh yeah, hello Sid, hello Audrey, hello Robert. Are you going on holiday this year? Well, you always go to the same place, don't you, in Portugal? We do, it was lovely there." Chatting away, and then he'd look round, and the ball would go nowhere near him, and he'd carry on chatting, and at the end of the over, he'd disappear. I'll be back in a minute. He'd go off to wherever he was fielding, then back again. And then at one point, the ball came near him. He had to run for it. And before he set off, he turned to these two. He said, "Hang on a minute." And set off, got the ball, chucked it straight over the stumps. "Sorry, Sid. I just thought, what other sport?"
Yeah. No, that's true. It's just all about the pace of it, isn't it, really? So on the Palace front, are you hopeful? What are you looking for from the season then?
What's the trouble, isn't it, when you support a club that's sort of gone up to the Premier League unexpectedly and then it's survived a few years, your Watford, sort of Bournemouth type teams. But what you don't want then is to give in to that urge to go, now we want to go better, we should be fifth. Why aren't we beating Arsenal? Because they're worth more than the national economy of probably 80% of country. So you can't, I don't know, in a way it's sort of, Palace have been 11th, 12th, 10th, 13th sort of thing for 5-6 years. That's fantastic. I don't really know. You could go a little bit better than that, but just to maintain that is fantastic, really. And I don't know. But the trouble is, of course, you get used to it and you expect to beat Villa or something, you know. And I but think that's slightly dangerous.
The way they did that.
Terrific. Really, really good. And last year beating City away and that. But then within a couple of months, some of the fans are moaning and... I don't know. I think we've done brilliant. We've got the best player Palace have ever had still there for a little bit more at least.
I mean, how do you think that's likely to play out? How do you view
I don't know. I don't have any inside information. He was obviously a little bit cross.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's brilliant. Again, it's something you get used to it, you know. In fact, even when he's not having his best game, he'll still... Zaha will still dribble through five people and then run into a you know, then they put five more round him and he loses it. And then people go, oh. Wilf, there we are.
Yeah.
That was pretty... I mean, I just like, in our promotion year, you know, when we was just getting used to him, really. But, I mean, he became a hero then. But there was one game against Birmingham and it... I don't think we did. I think we lost 3-0 in that game. But there was one point where he picked up the ball outside his own box and he went past five players, I think, got to the other box. He thought, what's he going to do? Couldn't see anywhere to go. So he turned round and then beat another three or four players on the way back.
Until somebody arrived.
And then ended up back where he started. And it was
FIFA. Brilliant. Somebody leaning on the controller. Yeah.
Oh, I think that's brilliant. That's just fantastic. Mm. I don't, of course, if he goes to Chelsea or something, they're not going to be quite as lenient, are they? They're going to be moaning and grumbling. But
If Chelsea get the transfer ban overturned, there's a danger.
He could go there.
They'd look at him. They've got a lot of money to spend.
You're a two-comedian family these days, of course. Your son Elliot has gone into the same line of business.
He came on the show. He was great.
He's a good lad. He's very naturally funny and quick and stuff. So we were down at the football on Saturday together and that, you know, that's one of the great, that's what football does that is a brilliant thing, isn't it? Is that it means that fathers and sons, but it doesn't have to be fathers and sons, mothers, daughters, whatever, but you can go down, scream and yell and be emotional and not talk about any of the things in life that matter.
That's very, very true. You know how often, I play five-a-side, there is something about a switch off. My wife will often say to me, did you talk to Steve about this? Did you talk to Matt while you were at the football about that? Did you ask him about? And I'd say, no, I didn't ask. She said, but
he's up for a murder trial. Because he didn't have time because we were... But he had a really good goal in the top corner.
This person you need to have this conversation with, you were with for an hour with a pint in your hand and you never thought to talk about it. No, not for one second.
No, that would destroy the whole purpose of it.
Well, Mark, good to see you always. Thanks for coming in. And you can catch Mark at the Hackney Empire in London, Friday the 18th of October. Final show of the tour. Every little thing's going to be all right. And he's back in town very soon as well with another series. So good to see you.
Yeah, always lovely to pop in.
Marvellous.
Look at you with your posh new office.
Yeah, look at the lovely view. Give our best to Elliot. We'll speak to you soon.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Graham Stack is with us in the studio. Graham was part of the Invincible squad at Arsenal. He had a long career at a number of different clubs, even at one point with Barnet. Graham, you had Edgar Davids. Edgar Davids wanted to take the number one. Can I wear number one? He said.
He didn't want to take it. He took it.
That must have been strange, wasn't it? You playing with Edgar Davids.
Oh, listen, there was rumours, obviously, leading up to when Edgar came in. And I've got to say, I was excited. And then he drove his Bentley down the drive and I thought, blimey, that's got to be in. There's no Bentleys at Barnet. And you know what? I've got nothing. You know, I've got a lot of positives regarding Edgar in terms of the way he coached, his desire to win. When he trained, I mean, he was like a Trojan. He was a warrior. Whatever side, didn't matter what it was, he always had that edge.
So you could see what made him the player he was. Yeah,
most definitely. Yeah, you certainly could. But unfortunately, Edgar probably got the job slightly too late, and ultimately we went down, which was a shame.
Yeah.
But he did ask me about wearing number one, I must say. People often say that. But Mick McCarthy, we played Watford in pre-season. It must have been the first game, but he wore it. And I said to Mick, what about the gaffer? He said, he wants to wear number one. He went stacky. He said, I won't worry, son. He said, I've had plenty of number ones that sit behind me on a Saturday. Which is very true.
Now, you were very popular on the Magic Sponge Shirt podcast with Jimmy Bullard and Rob Beckett. And many of the, probably most of the stories that you told that become legion on there, we can't tell at this time of day. But there's one that we can probably get away with, I think. And it involves your time at Leeds. It's another example of when you have a long career like you do and you play for a lot of different clubs. As at Arsenal, you played with some of the greatest players. But occasionally on the way up, there'll be young lads coming through. And a couple of those at Leeds, Fabian Delph and Danny Rose.
Yeah.
And there was a memorable game of head tennis.
Yeah, there was. And, you know, looking back at the team we had, you know, Rosie and Fabs at the time were, you know, they were highly regarded young kids at the club. I mean, there wasn't a club in the country that didn't want to sign them. Mm. And I live locally, obviously living away from home. I tend to get in pretty early. Facilities at Leeds at Weatherby are, you know, outstanding. They've got the indoor Astro and, you know, they've got the pool and the gym, and it's, you know, it's a great setup for young players there. And every morning they played head tennis. And one morning I just felt as though I wanted to go down, sort of have a little look, and see if I could get involved. And I'd pop down there and it was Winner Stays On, and as you do, 20 minutes later you're on and you're playing Danny Rose. I'm thinking, blimey, let's see what this kid's all about. So I said, look, before we start, got to have some money on it, do like a bit of interest. I said, we'll play for £50. I said, but I'll pay you 50 because you're only an academy player. I don't expect to pay me 50. Blimey, our times have changed.
Probably a court. Yeah. Caught it now.
I said, but what we will do, I said, you can clean my car. Yeah, no problem. So anyway, the game went on. Before you know it, there's probably the best part of 50-odd lads in there, staff, everyone watching. I end up beating Rosie, and there's uproar because he is the best that there is. Out of nowhere, Fabian turns up, hands up. He said, I'm on. I said, yeah, no problem. I said, on you come. He said, right, if I beat you, Rosie hasn't got to clean your car. And I went, okay, no problem. I said, but if I beat you, you've got to give me 50 as well. Yeah, no problem. So we play. It's gone on for a while. I'm sweating, by the way. I'm not as technically as gifted as these two, but I tend to find a way to get a result. And it just so happens that I beat him as well. Now, the other youth team players at Leeds were going ballistic. They're all going mad because their two top boys have just been turned over by a goalie. So the deal was in place. We all made it very clear that the following day that Fabs would wash my back in the shower, and Danny Rose would wash my car. So I made a point. I left the training ground straight away. I've gone straight to Body Shop in Leeds Town Centre. I bought a big back brush and I bought a load of soap and a load of whatever it is for, you know, oils and whatever else. I've come in the following day and I've got a big bag full of it, and I've tracked them both down. And I said, I've left my car at the front. You can use a hose. And I said, and once I finish training, you can pop in and scrub my back. So the first team are laughing. Everyone's in stitches, but the two young boys they're obviously embarrassed.
Yeah.
So I'm in the changing room after changing. I've said to one of the young lads, can you go and grab the boys? I said, I'm ready for a shower. And with that, I think it was, might have been Gus Poirier, was run down and said, Stacky, no. He said, we can't do this. And I said, why not? He said, a bet's a bet. I said, a bet's a bet. He went, we can't. He said, we'll have the PFA all over us. He went, you can't have two young players scrubbing it back. And I said, no, not a problem.
You mentioned earlier on, interestingly, though, about that thing of cleaning David Seaman's boots. And we've spoke to somebody, you'd know Mark Burcham, but we talked about this. And that kind of era of players like you came through at a time when there were certain duties that young players had. And that's an example of how times have changed even
just,
then.
Yeah, that was just all fun and games. It didn't matter who it was. You know, that was just, if I would have lost, I'd have paid the lads. And, you know, the Christmas singing, you know, was standard. You know, we had to sing. You know, when you joined the first team squad, you'd have to either sing or you'd have to say a speech.
Do they still do that at Watford?
I'm not too sure within the first team. Most first teams do, funny enough.
Yeah, most teams do.
It's a bit of an initiation. It breaks the ice a little bit and you actually find out a little bit more about players. you find out, you know, who's prepared to, you know, who's confident.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Who can sing, who can't, which is an obvious one. But but listen, that I say unfortunately, look, there's a lot of things that have changed within academies and within football in general that, you know, that are probably the right decisions to, you know, to make. However, I do, at times, I struggle with it because, you know, cleaning boots and stuff like that was, I was so privileged to clean Dave Seaman's boots. Mm. You know, I would want to make sure that Dave Seaman's boots were the best boots at Arsenal Football Club. I didn't find that a chore.
Yeah.
You know, I look forward to doing his boots because on a Saturday I'd go and watch him.
Mm.
And I felt as though, in a strange way, I felt part of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'd done my job properly.
Mm.
And it helped when Dave gave you a one at Christmas, I've got to say. So they were you know, they were part and parcels of being in the team, you know, cleaning the changing rooms and cleaning the bus. You know, I never look down at that because I think they are, you know, that's a way of disciplining young players and realising your value and where you want to get to.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show.
I wish Motti was on Strictly Come Dancing.
It would be good, wouldn't it? I think we'd all watch it, maybe. Or in the jungle. It'd be fantastic.
We'll ask him on Friday.
Yeah, see if he fancies it. I'm guessing not. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks for downloading us.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.